بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وذروا ظاهر الإثم وباطنه إن الذين يكسبون الإثم سيجزون بما كانوا يقترفون صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم My dear respecting elders and dear young friends We have been discussing for the last few days one topic in different angles, in different ways, only one topic as a summary can be said is being discussed. And that is how we can inculcate and bring into ourselves this quality of taqwa. No doubt, this is the spirit and ruh of this month. And this is the ultimate objective that we have to try and leave with when we leave from here. That we have within us this quality of taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this month so that we can inculcate and bring into our lives this quality of taqwa. We ponder for a short moment that from 12 months of the year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made 1 month. He took out 1 month for the mu'mineen, for the believers. Only for this objective, and only for this purpose, solely for this purpose, that my bondsmen, they utilize this month, and they use this month to bring in their lives or revitalize themselves with this quality of taqwa. The whole month. كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون Allah Ta'ala ordained fasting upon us so that we inculcate and we bring into our lives this quality of taqwa. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala specified whole 30 days, whole month, from 12 months. We can gauge how important it must be for us to adopt taqwa, to have this quality of taqwa. And to stay steadfast upon this taqwa all our lives. When we attend this gathering, when we have been fortunate to come here, No doubt, we have made this firm intention. We have made this firm intention that we want to live a life of taqwa. There's no doubt about this. And there's no doubt that over the days we have been fortunate to listen to the various discourses of our respected Hazrat Damat Barakatuhum, and we have this yearning, we have this zeal, we have this ambition that we want to live a life of a muttaqi. But the crucial thing is that when we leave from here, we have to maintain this taqwa. This maintaining and continuing with this taqwa, that is the most important thing, and that is the difficult task. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. Verily those people who have said, رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ, our Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ, then they remained with istiqamah. They had istiqamah. So when they said رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ, they became muttaqi. When they said our Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they became muttaqi. They became people of taqwa. And down here رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ doesn't just mean that they brought faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means they brought the whole deen into their lives. When they have said Allah is our Lord, that means they subjugated their mind and heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they brought the deen into their life. They said our Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They became muttaqi. But just to become muttaqi for a short moment, for one moment, and then to leave this, that is not the objective. The objective is ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, they continue remaining muttaqi. They continue to remain muttaqi. Once a sahabi radiallahu anhu came into the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he requested the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, give me advice, such advice that I will not need to ask anyone else regarding this advice, or after you I will not need to discuss and ask someone for advice. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said a very short hadith. قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ, say that you have both faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then istaqim, then remain on this. Obviously it doesn't mean that آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ, that I bring faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and only this kalima is sufficient. ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ, stay, remain steadfast, meaning آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ incorporates the whole of deen, that I bring the whole deen into my life. All the awamir and all the nawahi, all the do's and don'ts are into my life. I accept it. And after accepting it, I will carry it out with continuity for life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاسْتَقِيمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ, remain steadfast as you have been ordered. Remain steadfast. The Mufassirin have mentioned that one of the most difficult tasks that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt the most difficult task, is istiqam. Some narrations mention that Shayyibatni Hud, that the Surah Hud has made me get old, has brought white hair. Why? Because in this verse, the ulama mentioned is amr, this command of istiqamah, of continuity, is very difficult. Some mufassirin have mentioned, it wasn't that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam found istiqamah difficult. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was
the greatest being, the most closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His whole life was of istiqamah. It is not possible that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would for a short moment be relaxed with regards to any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It cannot be thought like this. Rather, day by day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's steadfastness, his ma'rifat, his closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would increase by the second. So it is not possible that a person who is progressing in the ma'rifat and the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he become relaxed at any time with regards to following the conjunction and injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not possible. So therefore the Mufassirin mentioned that it wasn't that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was concerned about his own istiqamah. He was concerned about the istiqamah of his ummah. Will my ummah be able to fulfill this command? Because the commands that come in the Quran, whether they address to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly or they're not, this is a command for us. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling me the first taqim, then remain steadfast, it means my ummah has to also have istiqamah in their life. And this istiqamah for my ummah will be very difficult. So pondering and thinking about his ummah, and because of his mercy for his ummah, he was in this anxiety that will my ummah be able to have istiqamah in their life. And this worried the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the extent that he said, shayyibatnihu. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayha has mentioned that istiqamah, to remain steadfast, is very difficult. It's one of the greatest and hardest tasks. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, istaqim, remain steadfast, walan tuhsu, but you will not be able to do this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself has mentioned that you will not be able to remain steadfast. What does this mean, that you will not be able to remain steadfast? There will be a question here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to remain with istiqamah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that you will not be able to remain steadfast. So there is a contradiction. We have been ordered to do something which is beyond our capability. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. That Allah ta'ala does not burden the nafs with a task which is beyond his capability. So what does it mean that you will not be able to remain steadfast? It means that by nature how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this human, his nature will not allow him to remain perfect. He will definitely slip because of his nature. Allah Ta'ala has created him such. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salatu wa salam and created his statue, then the farishta, the angels, they looked at this statue, and they said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. Not as objection, but as astonishment. So why is it that you have felt that you need to create such a creation who is going to cause chaos and havoc on this earth, who's going to cause disobedience, who's going to be disobedient to you, who is going to create bloodshed and do bloodshed on this earth? Why would you want to create such a creation? If the purpose of creation is ibadah, then we are angels, we never disobey. We never disobey you night and day, we are obedient to you. Why would you want to create a creation who wants to disobey? If ibadah is your objective, then you have created such angels that since their time of creation they are in qiyam. And they will not go into sajda until the day of judgment. They are angels who are in ruku, and they remain such, and they will never go into sajda. They are angels which are in sajda, And they remain such till the day of judgment. They are angels who are glorifying you. They are only saying Subhanallah. They are angels who are saying only Alhamdulillah. They are angels who are saying only Allahu Akbar. There is no need to create any creation which needs to do your ibadah. In essence, you are in need of anyone's ibadah. If all the people on this earth was to become the most God-fearing, it is not that it's going to increase your grandeur in any kind of way. You are not going to increase your majesty in any kind of way. Why would you want to create a creation who is going to cause havoc on this earth? So the angels, they understood from the nature of this human, that this nature of this human is that it has thirst in it, it has greed in it. And greed is going to lead to havoc. He has love, he'll have love for this wealth. Because of the nature of this human, how Allah has created it, it is definitely going to cause havoc on this earth. So the Prophet said, Istaqimu, have istiqamah, but you will not be able to do it. Meaning, you need to realize yourself that your nature is such that you will never be able to remain as you are all the time. You are definitely going to stay. So does this mean that when you are definitely going to stay, you are definitely going to make a mistake? Does it mean that you need to intentionally make a mistake? No, it doesn't mean this. It doesn't mean this. It means that you have to try your best at all times that you do not do the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah says, because istiqamah is so difficult, meaning to stay on one level all the time and only increase and never make a mistake because of our nature. Because of this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obligated upon us to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for istiqamah 5 times a day in our salah. He ordered us that, look, perform salah, do my worship, and in this qiyam, make this dua, ihdina sirat al-mustaqeem. Oh Allah, keep me on the straight path. Give me guidance. Guide me on the straight path, meaning give me istiqamah. Look after me. Look after me and guide me that I do not slip anywhere. So, istiqamah, remaining on this tawbah, remaining on this taqwa that we have, is the crucial thing. And for this, we have to put this one point in our mind. And that's where we all slip. Or that's where we sometimes don't realize that what our mission is supposed to be. When we say that we need to become muttaqi, when we hear the word muttaqi, that we need to become muttaqi, then our perception of taqwa and becoming muttaqi is a bit distorted. It's like this, that we think that becoming muttaqi means that we need to be a lot of ibadah, we need to do a lot of worship, we need to do a lot of nafal ibadah, we need to excessively fast, we need to excessively give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to forego our luxuries in our houses. When we see muttaqi, then we think that when I go home, all the goodness, good stuff I have, I need to put it in the bin. And I need to live a life of poverty. I need to live a life that when people see me, that they think that this is a poor person. This is what we think we're muttaqi. This sort comes in our mind. Al-Tan rahmatullah says that people think that this is a very difficult task. What is a very difficult task? Remaining on deen, istiqamah. In one way, this istiqamah is very difficult. Which istiqamah is very difficult? That you live a life of no sin. That you never make a mistake. And you never slip. This is very difficult. Because this is the specialty of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And moreover, to live such a life where you never slip and you become muttaqin in the manner that you never ever commit a sin. Allah Ta'ala does not even want that from us. Allah Ta'ala does not even want that from us, that we all become such on such a level that we never ever do the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we never ever fall into the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala doesn't even want that from us. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that if all of you in the world was to become on such a level of taqwa that you never do disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you never fall into disobedience, if you were to become like this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would finish you off. He would finish the people on the earth. And then He would create another creation who would fall into sin, and they would do tawbah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive them. So this is not even the desire, or this is not the objective of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to create such a creation who never falls into sin. Because Allah Ta'ala has already created such a creation. He has already made the angels. He has only made the angels who never fall into sin. So He doesn't need to create the creation that doesn't fall into sin. Rather, He has made us people who will try their utmost best never to sin, but will slip. But when they slip, they will immediately do tawbah. This is the man of istiqam. So Hazrat Rahmatullah says that we think it's very difficult. Halanki bahut aasan hai. It's very easy. How easy is that you try your best never to commit a sin, and when you sin, do tawbah, and you're back to on the level where you were. Continue, make effort never to commit a sin, never to do the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never to be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like our respected Hazrat Damat Manatatan saying, a mu'min will never make a program to sin. He'll never make a plan to sin. He'll never have an intention that I want to commit the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So live a life as such that you never want to do the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But your nafs and shaitan and the environment at times will make you slip. So when you slip, so you have not lost out. As soon as you slip, you do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's very easy. As soon as you sleep, you do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you are where you are. But the problem is, when we go from here, we have this thought in our mind that I want to become muttaqi, I want to be a person of taqwa, and we have this illusion in our mind, we have this one conception, misconception, that I need to live life like this, which no doubt there are good things that a person needs to inculcate in one's life, but that is not the level of taqwa we are talking about at this precise moment for everyone. We are talking that when we go from here, we want to go with this perception that we want to never commit the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, when we have said we want to become muttaqi, this thought doesn't come in our mind, that I want to live a life free from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we say I want to become muttaqi, we make an objective that I need to do this much rakat and nafil, I want to do this much fasting, I want to do this much worship, I want to spend this much time in the masjid, I want to spend this much time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have all these other ideas in our mind. One thing we don't make an objective is that I want to go from here and never ever commit the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the most important thing. Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I want to teach you something. Someone who will learn them, do amal on them, or who will pass them on to someone who will do amal on them. So think the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, one thing he mentioned was, ittaqil maharim. Save yourself from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stay away from the maharim, those things which are haram, those things which are the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will you become? تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. You will become the most worshipper, the greatest worshipper on this earth. What is the objective of life? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have not created you but so that you worship me. Abdiyat. So the greatest form of abdiyat is that we do not do the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest abdiyat is not that we spend our whole day in the masjid doing nawafil and then we go out of the masjid and we do the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our respected Shaykh mentioned the incident of Shaykh Sadi rahmatullahi alayhi, that when he was a young child, he went with his father to the masjid. And he spent his night in tahajjud. If he said, I spent my night in tahajjud, we will say, he's a great muttaqi. Or he's a great abid. He's a great muttaqi. We will think that he's the closest servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But my dear respected brothers and elders, listen to this story again, that he said to his father, that look at these people, they are sleeping and we are in tahajjud. What did his father say? That if you had slept and not said this statement, that would be more better than you spend his whole time in tahajjud and thereafter you belittle these people, because to belittle a Muslim is the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think, belittling a Muslim, belittling the people with regards to something which Allah ta'ala has not obligated. You're belittling them, you're looking down upon them, that they didn't do nawafil. They didn't do this nafal act of tahajjud. Whereas tahajjud and qiyam al-layl, it is such a great worship. It is such a great worship. If it wasn't for the difficulty of the ummah, it would have been obligated upon us to perform tahajjud. But despite this, having spent this whole time in worship, holds no value if you commit the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where we falter. That we do not think about the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the reason being is, we don't understand the gravity of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't really have the feeling and understanding that what does it mean that I am being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how detrimental it is to be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We think disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something minor, something that it doesn't matter if you don't pay so much attention to. No, my dear respected brethren, disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the last thing a person should ever think of doing. The last thing a person should ever think of doing, that he is disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is so dangerous. Disobedience is part of kufr. It's part of kufr. When a person defies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he rejects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he rejects the zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he rejects the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he rejects the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he rejects the wishes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he rejects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person sins, then although he is not rejecting the zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is rejecting qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is rejecting the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? When would a person have the jurah and have the courage to disobey someone? When would he have the courage? If he does not fear that person. If he feels that this person does not have the power and strength to cause me harm. If he feels that this person, if I disobey, what is he going to do? Sometimes, living in Western society, influenced by our surroundings, influenced by our culture, our conduct with our parents becomes such that we be disobedient to them. And we think, what are they going to do? Why? We don't have this feeling in our heart and mind that my parents can cause me any harm. So maybe physically they cannot cause you harm, but spiritually they can cause you great harm. Maybe you are thinking that my parents, they cannot do anything to me. What are they going to do? If they tell me to get out of the house, I'll leave. And there are many avenues by which I can sustain myself. Maybe you are thinking like this. From a worldly perspective, but from a spiritual perspective, from a deeni perspective, you are causing yourself great harm. But because you do not understand, or you fail to understand that there is some harm here, you will say, I've got to be disobedient to my parents, so what? What's going to happen? Because you feel like this, you will be disobedient. When a person disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although he may not say this with his tongue, then practically he is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dar and nafi, but with regards to myself, he cannot do nothing. With regards to myself, I am so strong that I am saved. I can save myself, na'udhu billah, from the harm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not belittle and think that disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something inferior. Our Salaf al-Salihin and our pious predecessors, they used to be very careful and scared with regards to falling in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu came to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and what does he find? He finds that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is pulling his tongue. Well, why is he pulling his tongue? Khalifatul Muslimin, the closest person to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is he feeling? He's pulling in his tongue and he's saying that this tongue, oh, Radanil Mawarij, has landed me in great destruction. He is concerned that it should not happen. Obviously, it can't have been that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu must have said something with his tongue which was that detrimental for his deen. But nevertheless, he understood the gravity of what could happen, what this tongue can lead him to. What can this tongue, where it can lead to? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a person, he lives a life of iman and he comes to the near end of his life, and with his tongue he says one kalima which lands him in the depths of hell. This one kalima. Abu Bakr understood how careful he needs to be with regards to his tongue, because this is so dangerous that if I commit such a disobedience with this tongue, it will land me into hell forever. Now, dear respected brother Allah, sins, there are different types of sins, and maybe we belittle sins, but certain sins are so dangerous that they will land us into Jahannam forever and ever. They will take the iman out of ourselves. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, لَا يَذْنِي الزَّانِي هِنَا يَذْنِي وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنِ. That a person does not commit adultery when he commits adultery in the state of iman. Look, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we think that what is a sin? This sin is so dangerous that if a person indulges in this sin, at that time when he's indulging in the sin, iman is no longer with him. The nur of iman and the spirit of iman is out of his heart. It leaves his heart. In the hadith it comes, the iman hovers over his head. When he completes this task and he stops and finishes, then iman returns. The commentators of hadith, commentators of the Quran have mentioned that إنما الخمر والميسر والأنساب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that verily, most definitely, khamr, maysir, intoxicants, and gambling, والأنساب والأزلام, and idol worship. And azlam is also a form of idol worship or is a form of gambling. These things are ritsum min amali shaitan, they are from the shaitani a'mal and they are filth. First tell you, stay away from them. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned two aspects of idol worship and two sins, khamar and maysir, gambling and intoxicants. And he said, first tell you, and with one, in one go, he said, stay away from all of these. The commentators of the Quran have mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has equated all of these sins at one level. Khamar, maysir, and idol worship. And they have said, deduced from this, that the sin of intoxication, taking drugs, alcohol, and gambling, these are so detrimental, these sins, the effect of these sins are so bad, that if a person doesn't do tawbah from these sins, then iman and these two things cannot stay in one body. If a person remains on alcohol, remains on intoxicants, remains taking drugs, and he remains on this and he doesn't do tawbah from this, at the time of his death, iman and this cannot remain together, one will have to leave. And it is obvious if he hasn't done tawbah, then iman will leave him. My dear respected brother and elders, we do not realize the gravity of sins. That is why the kaba'ir, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam termed them as mubiqat. They are destroyers. They destroy a person. Spiritually they destroy a person. Sometimes we think that this is just a saghira. Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi mentioned, our respected Hazrat mentioned this many times, quoting Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi, that a person thinks that this is, they ask, is this major sin or minor sin? Is it major sin or minor sin? And if he said minor sin, so he feels that minor sin means I can carry it out. Minor sin means I can do this disobedience. It doesn't mean this. Hazrat Ali Rahmatullah mentioned that the person fear only the fire and he doesn't fear the spark. Will a person think this is only a spark and put it in his suitcase? He will not do that. He will not do that. Why? Because he knows that just as a fire can destroy me, a spark can destroy me as well. Just as a large scorpion can cause me hurt and cause my death, a small scorpion can also do this. A sin, sometimes we don't realize that it is maybe termed as a minor sin, but the effect of that minor sin is so detrimental spiritually that it is from the mubiqat, muhlikat. That is why Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu says, Anas radiallahu anhu, he says that you people, he's talking to the tabi'een, he said, you people, you do لَتَعْمَلُونَ أَعْمَالًا, you do such deeds. We in the time of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to term those deeds as mubiqat and muhlikat. We used to term them that they are very dangerous. And you cut them out and you regard them more finer than hair, meaning you have no concern about them. He's talking to tabi'in, what amal must he be talking about? He must be talking about minor sins. Those sins which they must be thinking that this is not that detrimental. This is not that detrimental, but the effect, the spiritual effect of that sin is so detrimental. The Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu said that we used to regard these minor sins, or those things which are khilaf al-awla, not good, not preferable, we should regard them as those things which is going to land a person in destruction. Think, bad-nazari, looking at a woman with lust, it's not from the kabair. It is not from the kabair. And this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it is not from the kabair. But our Ustaz Hazrat Dhamma Barakatuh mentions that this is not from the kabair, but the effect of this sin is so detrimental that it is like the kabair. A person who indulges in evil glance, a person who indulges in evil glance, he ruins his spirituality. He will not get the nur of spirituality on his face. He will not experience the halawat of iman in his heart. And some commentators of the hadith have mentioned that a person habituated to evil glance, he will be deprived in the hereafter of the ru'yatullah. It is we regard this in our fiqh and jurisprudence terminology as a minor sin. But look how detrimental this sin can be. Look how detrimental this sin can be, that a person's spiritual progress cannot be achieved if he falls into this sin. If he falls into this sin, he cannot progress spiritually. Whatever mood he builds in his heart leaves him. And it could be so detrimental. It could be so detrimental that he could be deprived of the ru'yat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah, despite going to Jannah. We cannot underestimate and we cannot belittle sins. Sometimes our mind does not even go towards the evil effects of sin. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that when you stand in the sufuf, when you stand in a straight line. Stand in a straight line. Why? Because standing in a straight line is from the iqam of the salah. And we have been ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have to establish salah, our iqam of salah, iqam of salah. And iqam of salah means we perform our salah with all its fara'id, wajibat, nawafil, mustahabbat, all its adab and etiquette. This is what it means. This is from the iqam of salah. That we perform such a salah that there is no lapse and negligence with regards to any mustahabbat and adab. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? He said, stand in the straight line and make your line extremely straight. Stand shoulder to shoulder. Why? Do not let your shoulders be out of line. What will happen if your shoulders are out of line? Now, we think this is a major sin. We don't think this is something detrimental. But look at the effect of negligence with regards to the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The effect of this is that if you do not stand straight in the line and you stand back and forth, it will cause disunity in your heart. We think that sins are nothing. within that, doing any disobedience or going contrary to the wish of Allah and His Prophet is insignificant. But look how significant this can be. Look how significant this is, that just by not standing straight in salah, you will cause disunity to your heart. And if you cause disunity to your heart, what will happen? You will quarrel, you will have hatred, you will have hasad, you will have bugs, you will fight, you will... It can lead to what? It is for this reason our pious predecessors and our elders, they would always emphasize to us about disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and staying away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can have very far-reaching effects. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمْ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Look at this. Down here, etiquettes have been mentioned. We think adab, what's that? We think adab, etiquette. It's not fard, it's not wajib. If I don't behave with etiquette, so what? I'm not doing haram. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the etiquette of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the ulama mentioned that al-ulama wa rafatul anbiya, that these etiquettes are for every knowledgeable person, for the mashayikh, for your shaykh, for your teacher. And mentioning these etiquettes, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? That if you lift your voice and if you do this, be careful, أَن تَحْدَتَ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. And do you understand what this verse means? أَن تَحْبَدَ عَمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْرُونَ. It is possible that your amal become diminished. You lose all your amal, they become hub, meaning they all get wiped out. Your amal get wiped out and you do not even realize. The disobedience or misbehaving or having incorrect etiquettes with regards to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the people of knowledge, all the mashayikh or your shaykh, can lead to a person destroying his amal. Now what does hatta amal mean? Look at the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about irtidad. That person, he leaves the form of Islam. There Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word antahbata amal. That a person, his amal, when do they become haq? When does a person destroy his amal? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, man ja'a bil hasanati falahu asra masaliha, the one that comes with one deen, Allah will recompense him with 10. So the commentators of the Quran have mentioned that when anyone does a good deed, the amal never gets batil. He never ever loses the amal. Yes, by his misdeeds, he may lose his amal, or he may lose his deeds to someone else. Like we find in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if a person does not fulfill someone's rights, then his good deeds will be given to him. So in that way, he can lose his deeds. Or that he does so many bad deeds that his bad deeds outweigh his good deeds, due to which he will have to go to Jahannam. But doing a good deed will never be lost. So doing a good will never be lost. So antahbata amalakum, when does your good deeds get wiped out? Only one time when your good deeds get wiped out. That's if you leave the fold of Islam. That's why the commentators of the Quran have mentioned that being disrespectful to the mashayikh and being disrespectful to the ulama, being disrespectful to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is so detrimental that it can lead to a person losing his iman. And we belittle sins, we belittle etiquettes, we belittle injunction of Sharia, we think this is nothing. Hadith Fudayl ibn Iyad rahimahullah mentioned that when a person, the amount of which a person undermines a sin, that much more greater or equivalent to that in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that sin is increased. So if a person has done a small deed, and you think this is only minor, then this small deed is multiplied in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah regards has to be very great. Why? Because he is doing the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is not caring that I am being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Fudayl ibn Iyad rahimahullah mentions that in the magnitude by which a person regards a sin to be very grave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regards that sin to be equally small and he forgives that person. So if a person does a small, if a person does a major sin, and you think I've done a great mistake, and he thinks he has a great burden, and he thinks that he has done something very great, and he is doomed. Like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, when a mu'min and a believer, he commits a sin, and he disobeys of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his kayfiyat and his feeling is such that he feels that he's beneath a mountain, and the mountain is going to fall on his head. Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullahi, commentating on this statement, has mentioned that the ulama have mentioned the reason why he regards it as to be a mountain, he regards sin to be a mountain about to fall in his head, is because he regards his sin to be from the muhlikat. He regards his sin just as a mountain. If he's falling on someone, he never has any hope that he's going to come out of it alive. So he regards that the sin is such that I cannot come out of it alive. That's how he feels with regards to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a munafiq, how does he feel? He feels he has committed a sin, and a fly has sat on his nose and flicked it away. He doesn't care what he has done. He doesn't care what he has done. So when a person desires a sin to be great, he thinks that he has done something very bad, he thinks he has done a great, he feels a weight on his shoulders. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala terms sins as weight. وَلَا تَزِلُ وَازِلَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. A person will not take the burden of another person. A person has to regard sins to be a burden. He has to feel that this is a burden in my head. So when he thinks the sin is a burden, then for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, no, this is very small. I can forgive this. This is nothing, I can forgive this. My rahmah and my mercy is so vast that your sin is nothing. But that's when the person regards it like this. Allama Uzair rahmatullahi mentioned that it is from the kaba'ir that a person regards the sin to be minor. This is from the kaba'ir that a person regards the sin to be minor, it's nothing. And our attitude is that we have no objective of life, no thought in our mind that I want to live a life free from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have this month of taqwa, we have this enthusiasm, we want to become muttaqi, but we have not put this on our list. That to become muttaqi, the most important thing I need to do is to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say that sins are so detrimental. But if you come down one step and look at layani as well, how detrimental that is. Our Hazrat Damat Barakatim has quoted in his book a statement from the pious people that layani is so dangerous, that layani is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has turned his face away from that person. We regard layani to be nothing. We regard sins to be nothing. We regard layani to be nothing. Think for my brothers, that a person, his time is being wasted. His time is used in futile things. This is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has turned his face away from it. So, doing good deeds and extra good deeds, this is not something I am discouraging. This is something we have to fill our lives up with. But most importantly, alongside this, the most important thing is that we have to go from here and we have to make this program and this plan that I am never going to commit the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our respected Hazrat Dhamma Barakatum, time and again his majalis mentioned this point, that whatever happened, you may die. Give your life, but don't do the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't commit the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's put it in our mind that this is an objective we want to make, that we don't want to commit the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So staying away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making this plan, making this endeavor, making this effort, this is istiqamah. So إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, those people who say our Rabb is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they remain on this effort of trying to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whenever they slip, they do tawbah, for them is what? تَتَنَزَّلُوا عَلَيْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَاللَّهُ شَفَافٌ وَلَكُمْ. They are muttaqeen, they are the awliya, all the good, all the great rewards are for these people. All the great rewards are for these people. And this istiqamah is also taqwa. This istiqamah is also taqwa. This is the same thing. Therefore, we need to think for a moment that in order for me to remain on this istiqamah, to remain on this mission, to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is important that we do these three things that our respected Shaykh has been mentioning many times. First, we make the effort to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we want to do. But to do that, two things, we have to adopt the company of the pious people. If you look in the Quran, and about all the verses of the Quran where taqwa is mentioned, and the command after is mentioned, you will find that it is, you can categorize into three things. One is, kunu mu'asadikin, stay with the pious people. There's mention of knowledge sometimes, it's all included, staying with the pious people. That's one. Second is, dhikrullah, wallahu khabirun bima ta'malun. Second point, to have the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kunu qawlan sadida, say the right thing. All this is part of dhikr, controlling what you're saying, and having the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two things, and the third thing is to think about death, and what amal you have sent forth. وَلْتَنْزُ النَّفْسُ مَّا قَدْمَ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ الَّتِي عُدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. All of these verses, these are the teachings of our respected Shaykh. And this is what he advises all the time. That hold fast to these things. The Sohbatul Saleh, pious people, Zikrullah, Muraqabah al-Mawt, these are the things we learn all the time. From this we understand that if you want to stay on istiqamah, and if you want to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these things are crucial for us. These things are very important. These things have to be part of our lives if you want to stay on istiqamah and stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us make this i'tikaf of ours and this Ramadan of ours which Allah ta'ala has given us to become muttaqi, the people of taqwa. Let us make it like this by making these good intentions that come what may, from now on we will try our best never to be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the smallest way possible. In the smallest manner possible. Think that whatever we are doing, even if it's small, it is still a disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is still this being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if it's just from adab, even think this is against the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Against the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we hold, if we have love for someone, then his love is such that we are not going to go against his wishes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders in the Quran, وَعَتِيُ اللَّهَ وَعَتِيُ رَسُولُ. He didn't say to us, carry out the command, he says, do ita'ah. And what does ita'ah mean? Ita'ah comes from ta'an. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, I told the earth and the skies that come ta'an or karha. Ta'an or karha. Ta'an means come with your own will and desire with happiness. And karhan means with detestability. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't say to us that do my obedience when you don't like it. Do my ita'ah. Do my obedience with happiness. Do with ta'an, with your heartly wish. With your hearty desire, do my obedience. So with our hearty desire, we want to do the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for that, our guidance that has been given to us by our respected Hadith Damat Barakatum of holding fast to the mashayikh and the guiding of the pious people and zikrullah, we will hold fast to these things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the tawfiq to practice what has been mentioned. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Muslimin, Muhammad, wa Rasulullah.